Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with a Score. We're coming to the end of Chelsea versus Spurs. My stream is still, we're still playing, but we're 2-0 up and looking like we're going to get a 2-0 win. I don't know what's happened in the minute since I've, you might be ahead of me. My stream's about a minute behind, I think. But as far as I can see, it's 2-0. We've got 1 minute left of added on time, and Spurs have just skied one over the bar. But yeah, looking good. Looking good for a win, a good win, potentially a clean sheet as well. Very, very good professional performance. I don't think it was spectacular, but it was solid. We didn't give too many chances away. You know, we had a few chances ourselves and we've taken them. Okay, that's the full-time result. Chelsea 2, Spurs 0. Great win. Nice to beat Spurs again. Always good to beat Spurs. The double over Spurs this season. We've beaten them 6-1 over two games. Good result. Professional performance. Kept a clean sheet. Scored two goals. Probably could have scored more. Actually, we had quite a few chances. Some good performances all round, I think. Lots of good performances tonight. We looked a lot better to me. Looked more structured tonight, more organised tactically. We were playing the system we played in pre-season, and we're going to talk about that later. That's one of the topics we're going to talk about later. But, So Chelsea took the lead in the first half with a header from Trevor Chalobah, which VAR, for some reason, tried to disallow like any way possible. They looked like they were just trying to find a reason to disallow it rather than actually doing any critical analysis. They tried it for offside. They tried it for a foul. That's a nonsense. Shouldn't have had to be checked in the first place. It was clearly a goal. And it was deserved at the time as well. So we went 1-0 up in the first half. Played well in the first half overall. And then came out second half and as usual, Spurs really came at us at the start of the second half. You know, that was their best period of the game for sure. They had a lot of chances. We had to defend well. We had to be organised, and we were. And that's a positive. And, you know, we kept them out. Then we got the second goal with a free kick from Cole Palmer, which kind of deflected and got headed in by Nicholas Jackson for his 11th Premier League goal, his 14th goal of the season. You know, fair play to him. He's had a lot of stick recently, but he took that chance and it was a difficult chance. It was not an easy chance, but he put it away and got the goal. That's four goals against Spurs for him this season. And that's good for him. I'm really pleased for him. And then we saw it out. We were solid. Spurs had chances for sure, but they didn't. Our defence was a lot better today, a lot more organised. I thought our defenders played pretty well. I thought Cucurella had his best Chelsea game tonight, and we'll talk about him. That's one of the things we're going to talk about later. I thought all our defenders played pretty well. Alfie Gilchrist started at right back and played well as well. Came off, hopefully not with too bad an injury. It looked like it was cramp. And then we got Achim Pong getting his debut, and he was really good. He made some important tackles and blocks. Really good to see him coming on. And then some other subs as well. Cassidy came on, played well. His height was really useful. You know, kept Spurs out of set pieces. Really good performance. Good result. It's good to see all the players are now going to the fans and clapping them. Pochettino's out there with them as well. Again, we're seeing that good collective unit that's there. It's been, you know, one of the things that I've said this season that has definitely improved, and there's a better team spirit, better collective unit there. And it's good to see. It's good to see them going to the fans and applauding the fans. Good to see Pochettino out there as well. So yeah, 2-0. Chelsea got up to eighth now. And you know, we're not far behind people in front of us. I don't know the exact table points. We'll check. We'll get those. Somebody to send that, to put that in the chat later. But we're definitely up to eighth. 50 points now. With four games to go. So, we probably need to win all four of our games to have a chance of getting sixth. I don't know if we'll do that. And there's Reece James. Reece James is there tonight. That's good to see. He is the club captain. People need to remember that. It's good to see him there tonight, and it's good to see him all together celebrating that win. So lots of good things to talk about tonight. And as ever, we've got Louis with us, and I'm just adding Rambles as well now. And yeah, so Louis, what are your, before we get into kind of topics to discuss, what are your kind of initial thoughts on the game?
Buenas noches. That is my thought straight off the bat. I'm very happy with that. look, it was a professional performance. That's all we can ask for. It's a real case of job done. I think the biggest thing about it, I think obviously I'm sure it'll be one of the talking points, was the ridiculous nature of the Conor Gallagher banner debate before the game. We saw a goal with him getting the assist and Trevor Chalobah putting it in the back of the net. A goal made in Cobham, which was lovely in a fixture like today. So I'm very, very happy with that. That's probably a highlight for me. I couldn't put it better, mate. It was just very professional. Job done. Clean sheet. And 6 points against Spurs this season. It's all we need to say, really.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things that you really want to ask for from any Chelsea team, is to beat Spurs, and we've done it twice this season. So, yeah, and quite comprehensively, they've only scored one goal against us. We've scored 6 goals against them. So, you know, always nice to beat Spurs. And Spurs have basically bottled fourth place now. They looked all in for fourth place a few weeks ago when they beat Villa. And now they've completely bottled it, as per usual with Spurs. Some things never change. We can all laugh at Spurs now because they're not getting Champions League football. That's good. and Rambles, you're up here. What were your initial thoughts on the game?
I thought it was a very solid performance. Really nice to keep a clean sheet. We haven't kept one for quite a few games, so that's always a bonus. I thought everyone played pretty well. It's just a solid, very solid performance. And it's always lovely to beat Spurs. We've done a double over them yet again.
Yeah, it's nice. It does feel good, actually. I've got to say, beating Spurs with a professional performance, clean sheet, you know, it's nice. Always just feels good to beat Spurs in what's been a tough season. Absolutely. Now, one of the people I wanted to talk about today, because I thought he was amazing today and thought it was his best game for Chelsea, is Mark Cucurella. He was playing as kind of this kind of inverted wing-back kind of come defensive midfielder tonight. A lot of the game he was like in a central role. He was behind McGallagher and Caicedo. It freed up Caicedo a bit, and he had a really good game as a result. And he made a lot of good tackles, good blocks. Positionally, he was really good. I thought he had an excellent game. I thought it was one of his best games. Thoughts on Cucurella?
I thought he was absolutely outstanding tonight, and he was really good against Aston Villa as well. He seems to really suit kind of like the inverted role. He looks so much more comfortable.
Yeah. That's the role he played for Brighton as well, kind of. And he got their player of the season. You know, he was the season before we bought him. And that's where Graham Potter was playing him. When he got that, and he actually got an assist against us from that position, in 21-22. So yeah, I was somebody not really been a fan of his, but I'm really impressed. Honestly, today I was really, really impressed. And I know Louis, you were singing his praises, in the City game a few weeks ago. What do you think of him tonight?
Yeah, I think he has slowly found his feet in that position where he's become more inverted. It's interesting to see Chelsea actually utilising that, because obviously I think over the past few weeks, we haven't really seen, a few months, we haven't really seen Chelsea do that. It was very much a case of, you know, wing-backs or full-backs, and that was that. But he's come into that position there. He fills up the midfield. He makes Moises Caicedo look better as well, by the way. Allowing Caicedo to kind of go and do his thing. And I thought he was very, very good tonight as well. He's another player that was great. And he's finding his feet. I think it goes to show how much confidence can propel a player. We've seen it with Cocoro, we've seen it with Caicedo now as well. Just the fact that he's found somewhere he's comfortable. I think one of the big worries we always had was his lack of pace. And you weren't really going to be able to disarm that, I guess, in a full-back situation. But now that he's inverted and Chelsea basically play a back three with him in front of them, I think he looks solid. And look, I'm not looking at him going, he should be the starting for Chelsea forevermore. I think he's a very good player who's just very good for this squad and someone who can definitely step up. Left back is still a position which we need to look at. But I thought tonight he was superb and hopefully long may it continue.
Absolutely agree. Yeah. I've got to say he looked a different player tonight. And he was good. I've watched back the Villa game because I was away. I missed it, but I watched it back. Especially that second half, and he played well there as well. He's been getting better over the last few weeks, and today is kind of the culmination of that. He's playing on merit now. You know, he's starting on merit, and fair play to him. You know, deserves a lot of credit for that. You know,
I definitely think with Chilwell's injury problems, maybe there's a question to be asked: should Chilwell be sold over Cucurella?
Yeah, I mean, that was actually a question I had down to ask. That's becoming a question, isn't it? Even I was saying it tonight. And let me admit straight, I'm a massive fan of Ben Chilwell. I love Ben Chilwell.
Yeah, same here.
I could never call for him to be, I don't want to disrespect him too much because of what he's done for us in terms of winning the Champions League and, you know, and the European Super Cup and the way he played that year. And just he's such a good professional and a leader in some ways. But in terms of performance, Cucurella's probably doing better right now. And that's a fair point, you know. We're going to be signing a left back this summer. But when you think about Cucurella as well, he can play left centre back as well in a back three. He played left centre back for Brighton at times, as well as playing left back and the inverted role. So there is a question of like, maybe he's going to be more useful to us, like in the long run than Ben Chilwell, you know?
I get that, but at the same time,
I'm just asking the question. That's all.
Yeah, no, of course. But I do think if we sign a left back over the summer, which by the way, I don't think we need to, because there's a certain one at Borussia Dortmund who I think we've loaned out some bloke called Ian Matson. Apparently he was too short. I think if you're looking for someone with pace that can play left back, someone who's just a solid all-round full-back or wing-back, you've got that option in him. And then you've also got that option of the inverted role with Cucurella. But at the same time, with Ben Chilwell, look, I think the biggest signing Chelsea need to make this summer, before we even talk about players, is a decent physio team and decent doctors. Because if you have the likes of Chilwell and James fit for long periods, we can remind people of how good they are as a pair. There was a point where I don't think in the world there was a better combination. That's the key word there, combination of fullbacks and slash wingbacks as those two. In terms of how deadly they were, in terms of how great they were going forward in a back three as well as wing-backs, in terms of just being able to defend high up the pitch as well as be extremely dangerous going forward, there was nobody as a combination that I think people would want to face less. You think about the game against City, those three games against City. You think about that run towards the game against Juventus as well in the 21-22 season. The pair of them were unstoppable. So it's something worth considering, absolutely. But I think it has to be a case of the right offers on the table. Also, if you're doing that, you need to bring in more senior figures. Because if you get rid of Ben Chilwell, I understand he's not a player who might carry the aura of a John Terry, a Frank Lampard, or how people would consider certain players leaders in teams. But he's definitely someone who's been there and done it and is a leader in that team in some way, shape or form. Yeah, he's someone which players can look to. So if you get rid of him, fine, if you need to do it. But guess what? not only are you going to have to get one more senior figure if you get rid of him, you're going to have to get two because he's gone as well. So that's something to really, really think about.
Yeah, that's a good point, Louis. That really is a good point because, I think when Chilwell's fit and in form at his best, he's brilliant. You know, and like you say, when we saw Reece James and Ben Chilwell fully fit and in form playing together, Chelsea were incredible. And they were incredible. So, you know, that's a very good point, you know, and I'm glad I don't have to make that decision in the summer, honestly. So, but at least it's given us a good problem. I mean, that's one thing. All right. If we've got people with a question. We're going to talk about one more thing and then I'll bring people up. So one thing I wanted to talk about tonight was the system that we played. Because for me, it was very clear we switched to the system that we were using in pre-season. And it was very, very different from what I've seen. It wasn't like the chaos ball that we've seen for a lot of the last few months, you know, where players don't know where they are and players don't know where they're meant to be. And, you know, we're conceding goals all over the place and conceding loads of chances and, you know, just gung-ho all out attack. And there was actually a structure today. And it was clear to see for me. And we looked much more organised defensively. You know, we kept them out pretty well. We made some good blocks, good tackles, good headers. We didn't give them that many clear-cut chances. We were pretty solid. And, you know, we were clinical when we had chances. We took two chances. And that's key, you know. Without really kind of absolutely dominating the game, we controlled the game and we looked more organised. And I'm just wondering to myself, like, we've got like a bunch of kids on the bench, probably the bare bones of our first team squad. And this is when you try and start using this system when you could have started using it again months ago. And maybe we would be in a better position now. It was just confusing to me because we looked really good tonight in terms of our structure. And that's one of the things I've been absolutely on a Pochettino about because I haven't seen it at all. And we saw it tonight. So, just wondering, like, Rambles, did you notice that tonight?
Yeah, it's funny how the last couple of games have gone, you know, because obviously after the Arsenal game, I think the majority of the fan base are, he needs to go. But have the last two results possibly swung things the other direction slightly?
Yeah, we'll see what happens at the end of the season. You know, if he plays this system every week, well, I think we'll win more games than we've done. And I think we'll keep more clean sheets, personally.
Although it's unlikely, but we still could get sixth place. Because, I mean, Newcastle have got some tough fixtures. Manchester United have got some tough fixtures.
Yeah, they've got to play each other as well.
Actually. They do, yeah. So if that was a draw, we could really capitalise, providing we win our games.
I mean, we basically have to win all our games now, I think, to get sixth. To be perfectly honest, I think we've got to play West Ham at home, and then we play Brighton away and Nottingham Forest away, and then we play Bournemouth at home. Now, in theory, this is in theory, you'd say that those are winnable games. But
you would like to think so, definitely.
But in practice, West Ham always play like Barcelona when they play us, because it's like their cup final. Bournemouth are a good side. They're in good form. Nottingham Forest away is not an easy game. So, and you just don't know with this team either because we're so inconsistent. But we could win all four games. And if we did, I think we'd probably finish sixth. But that's a big ask. But, you know, you never know. If we play like we did tonight and maybe a bit more clinical in attack and create more chances in attack, maybe we can win all four. But what about you, Louis? What did you think of the kind of the tactical setup tonight?
I think that, look, for when we were looking forward to this game, we were talking about seeing a back three. And it's something which we saw Newcastle and Arsenal both use to counteract Tottenham's attacking impetus. And it was nice to see us adjust that shape today. And it was interesting, as you said just now, to see him do it with bare bones. I think that everything that he's done today can't be faulted in terms of Pochettino's tactics.
Yeah.
I think that he's taken what was a very tough game on paper for us, especially looking at that bench. I think there was a moment when we were 1-0 up, as soon as we look over to the bench and we saw Madison, Bentancur and Højbjerg all coming on, you sit there and go, oh God, right, okay, so this is going to be a bit tougher now. Because I think a big mistake that Ange Postecoglou made was not starting Madison. I think it would have been a completely different game if he had, personally. I think they'd have had a lot more of the ball and done a lot more damage. But at the end of the day, that's not our problem. Well, we went and won the game, and that's what we can talk about. But look, I think in terms of the shape, I was very, very happy. In terms of how they moved the ball about, work can still be done. I do think that at the beginning, when we had a lot more of the position and we were attacking more, it would have been nice to see some more attacking impetus from the midfield and the defence in terms of looking for those progressive passes. I want us to be a bit more aggressive, because you had Mudryk and Madueke and Jackson all aching to get in behind on multiple occasions, and we just made that extra pass when it would have been nice to just maybe see us really go for it. But look, I'm nitpicking a performance which I think, as we said at the top, was extremely professional.
Absolutely.
So we'll have to see what happens now.
Yeah, I mean,
after this, the guy needs the rest of the fixtures.
Absolutely. And Pochettino deserves a lot of credit for tonight. Really does. He made the right tactical change at half time against Villa, and it worked. And we should have won that game. He stuck with it tonight, and we did win, and we deserve to win, I think. So yeah, I'm always giving credit where it's due. Pochettino deserves a lot of credit for that, and hopefully that can continue. Yeah, so we've got a lot of people now requested. So I'm going to bring up some people have been waiting for a while. So I'm going to bring up Archie first. And then we'll bring up, and we'll just do them in order of that I can see them. So, right, Archie. Archie's always got good things to say. So, we've also got the glorious Gary Hayes there, the absolute legend. And we'll get him up and
He's a bit busy at the pub, mate.
He's at the pub.
Right. He texts me before the game, going, right, come to the Rose after the game. And I've gone, I can't, mate. I'm producing the show. So, you know, it's a situation where you can't win them all, but I'm sure he'll be listening and enjoying this.
Taking a few pints, no doubt.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Gary will get the last train home, or he'll try to.
We just beat Spurs. I think it's fair to celebrate. Absolutely. Right, Archie, unmute yourself. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the game and on the things that we've been talking about.
I've just had to, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
I've just had to nip into co-op on the way home. I've lost my voice. Too much screaming tonight. Really interesting game. First half, I thought we were, like, superb. Like, one of the best halves of football I've seen, actually, since Aston Villa second half. So, actually, the previous game. But we were excellent. And then the second half was, Ange changed something up. I don't know what it was. I think he put Brennan Johnson onto the other side and someone into the middle, and they definitely had a lot more of the ball, but we are very, very disciplined. And it's always nice to see players like Noni Madueke come and really take that role to heart, where defensively he was brilliant tonight, actually. There's very little to say to me, to be honest. Like, it's infuriating. I put up a post, a score, I know you just mentioned it, but like, this is exactly the type of football we are playing in pre-season. And I don't know why it's taken so long. One of the reasons, I think, is because I don't think it works when you've got Enzo playing and inverting Cucurella. I think for some reason there's like a thing in midfield that just doesn't work out. All the tacticos around here might be able to kind of help me out a bit. But I thought, yeah, just listen, beating Spurs is always the dream every season. If you get a double over Spurs, you've had a good season in my eyes. But I just hope we can build from this. You know, I still think we've got a really good chance of getting sixth. And it's just infuriating that these performances and is happening so late in the season. You just think, God, what could have been? You know, could we have got an additional 10, 12 points if we just played a little better or seen out other games, and suddenly, you know, sixth, fifth, fourth, or whatever could have been on our sights. So it's frustrating, but also brilliant to see, you know. And the one thing I would say is I thought Trevor Chalobah today and Badi Ashile were unbelievable. In fact, the whole back four were brilliant.
And
Caicedo and Gallagher as well in midfield, you know, they were just everywhere. It was a really brilliant team performance, including, and one more thing, having been in the game, Pochettino on the sideline was, I've been to maybe, I don't know, 12, 15 games a season, home and away, and Pochettino on the sideline was unbelievable tonight. He kept on like talking to Madueke, he was shouting to the players, he was really controlling the players, and I haven't seen that for a while. So it's nice to see all, they were really, all the coaches, Jesus Perez as well, they were all like screaming, they were helping Alfie Gilchrist. It just seemed like there was a really good team cohesion tonight, which is always nice to see.
Tell us a bit more about that thing with Poch. Like, what was it you noticed about him that was...
He was just a lot more vibrant and energetic. And, I mean, he was getting pissed off a lot with the ref, but, like, just the fact that he was really actually trying to coach them from the touchlines. Quite often this season, he's just been sat down or not doing anything, but there was a lot of pointing. And the problem is, this young team need that. Like, they're not seasoned professionals. They don't have that experience. Sometimes you need that manager on the sidelines to tell you to get back or track back or, you know, spin a man or whatever it may be. And tonight, it was so much more evident tonight that he was like truly on their case. And you could see them looking over to him and seeking advice. And he was delivering it. It was nice to see. And as I said, it's just a shame that it's all just coming too late.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's good to see, isn't it? But it is a bit frustrating that we've not seen it earlier, right? What's the meal you're getting, by the way? The meal deal? Like, what is that?
I'm not getting anything. I'm literally just, it's so windy outside that I've just seeked refuge in a co-op. So I'm just waiting till, when somebody else talks, I'll go off and I can actually go and buy something.
Oh. But if you listen, if you're in the, you've got to get a meal deal, mate. After that win.
Yeah, meal deal.
I'm going to go to town. Double meal deal.
Yeah, you've got to celebrate. Absolutely. It's really important to celebrate when you beat Spurs, especially when you play well. So yeah, thanks, Archie. Always a pleasure. Make sure you get some good food down you and celebrate properly. Right. Okay. We're going to bring up, I'm going to bring up Gary Hayes if he's available. If he's not in a pub.
I think he'll be sinking a few pints in the pub, mate.
Is he? we'll see.
I mean, hang on. He's joined as a speaker.
Okay, Gary. Love to hear from you. Is he going to speak? This is the question. Yeah. Are we going to hear from him?
Whilst we wait, we should probably get someone else.
Yes. I'll move Archie. Thank you, Archie, for your stuff. I always appreciate Archie. Great guy. Always had a lot of good points and a lot of good tweets, so it's worth a follow.
Yeah, very good balanced account as well.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. Yeah. I retweet a lot of his things. I'm in a group chat with him as well. He's really great. So we're bringing up BTNT, who's been here a lot before. So welcome back to the show. And yeah, your thoughts on the game and on some of the things that we're talking about, Cucurella, the system, and other things.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
nice to be back. I mean, overall, I thought it was a very good performance. Cucurella, especially, sort of, I think you should get a shout out. I mean, Gaz already, of course, from you guys, but he was very good tonight. Hope that can continue for the foreseeable future. I don't think I saw a player that I thought performed poorly. I mean, there's some that you go, oh, maybe it could have been a bit better or something, but I don't look at a player and go, oh, he had a poor game. Overall, it just was very good. Sort of that inverted role, I can't remember the preseason, but seeing everybody mention it kind of says, okay, maybe that was happening more preseason. Been a while for me. Overall, I was just very happy with the performance. I loved also, I gotta say, Jackson's header. That is not that easy to do. There's no pace on the ball whatsoever. He had to guide that with a bit of strength and everything from himself. Of course, Chalobah's header was also great. Long may it continue, Spurs not being able to defend set pieces. Those supporters know how it feels for us as well. All in all, yeah, it was just it was a good game to watch. I very much enjoyed it.
Tell us a bit about Jackson and what you thought of his performance then.
I thought there was that one finish that he tried to put through Vicario's legs, I believe it was, and sadly there was a goal line clearance. But I don't think that was a horrible miss from him. He didn't have much time there on the ball and chose a decent option that sadly didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good move at the start of the game, I thought. And Mudryk made a good run down the left and put the ball in behind, and Jackson made the run. If you're a striker, you've got to back yourself and have a go at those things. And he did. Didn't go in. But then Cole Palmer kind of almost missed the rebound. But that was a good move at the start of the game, and I was quite impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame Cole Palmer for that one either. The ball came at him with such pace that he could not react in time. It happened. It might sort of, you hear the description of it, of 6 yards out, miss or something, open goal, but the ball came at him with such pace. It was a good ball by Mudryk. Jackson did at least move. Sometimes good moves just don't work out. I mean, Mudryk in this game, he showed moments and glimpses of some real class. Sadly, it wasn't consistent throughout the game. But see what kind of player he can be.
Yeah, I've been advocating Jackson all season, I think. He definitely adds something to our attack. He's not always clinical enough, and he needs to improve that. But his work ethic is all there, and his desire to succeed is definitely there. So, yeah, that's some really good points, BTNT. Thanks for that. One of the things I wanted to do, I just got some stats up for Caicedo tonight, because I wanted to talk about Caicedo, because I thought he was excellent again. Caicedo was the first in duels won, which was 10, first in removes, first in fouls received, second in passes to the final third. Obviously played, and he played the whole minute, the whole game. I think he's been getting better over the season. Came in without a pre-season, big move, big pressure. It took him a while to settle, but I think he's starting to do that now. I do think he's playing a bit, playing alongside Conor Gallagher does help, but he's played well alongside Enzo as well this season. I mean, I've seen it. So I think he's an excellent player, and he's been doing really, really well, and deserves a lot of credit. So, Enzo, Rambles, what are your thoughts on Enzo? Not Enzo, Caicedo. Sorry. Get my name mixed up.
I've been a huge Caicedo fan from day one. I saw what he did at Brighton, and I was just always confident he would go on to be a top player for us. I do think Pochettino hasn't worked out how to get him and Enzo working together. The balance just doesn't seem right when they're playing together. Under Pochettino currently, I think they can do it, but the midfield three with Enzo, Gallagher and Caicedo just does not work for me. I think you do need to make a tough decision to leave one of those three out.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of Enzo Fernandez. I think he's a world-class player. He's been playing through injury for the last 3 or 4 months, so we haven't seen the best of him. And I still don't think he's been used properly, but he's a top player. And I think we've got to find a way to get the best out of both of these two, because they're both top players. Whether that is playing a three in midfield with a six behind them, or it's playing three at the back with the centre-back kind of coming up and being a six, or the inverted thing like we had tonight, it has to be something like that. Because when they're given that protection, they're both better players. And I rate both of them. And I thought, I keep being impressed by Caicedo. He quietly goes about his business. And he does it really well. And he doesn't make many mistakes now. He doesn't give the ball away much. He wins the ball back a lot. His passing's good. His work rate's good. I think, he's also cut down on the reckless tackles that he was doing at the start of the season. I think You know, he's not got many yellow cards recently, which is I think is good, a sign of maturity. So yeah, I'm a massive fan of his. Louis, what are your thoughts on Caicedo?
Yeah, I think he's quality. I think he's great. But I've just got, before I go, I've just got a text off of Mr. Gary Hayes, and he says he wants to speak because he wants to go and have a pint.
Okay. Oh, all right, Gary, welcome.
Hello, Gary.
Looks bad.
You can hear he's at the pub, can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, absolutely right, you can.
Gary!
Oh.
And there we go. Gary!
Gary?
He's died.
Yeah,
he's
okay,
dead.
We'll just leave it for them.
Your thing gets dead!
We'll leave that for right, now. Alright, we're going to get people up again in a minute. I'll just bring on one more player.
Yeah. Can I talk about Caicedo first? I
didn't get I'm sorry, mate. Okay.
God.
Yeah, Caicedo, go on, go for it.
Never let me finish, mate.
Fire away, then.
Fire away.
How is it now? Is it working now?
Oh, here he is.
Yeah, hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Hello, boys. Listen,
hi, Gary.
I'm standing at the bar with Trevor Chalabar. Oi, oi. Tottenham get battered everywhere I go. Sort them, get battered, and where they go!
Absolutely! Great start!
Sort them, get battered, and where they go! Sort them, get battered, and where they go! Where they go!
And where they go!
Sort them, get battered, and where they go! Sort them, get battered, and where they go!
Where'd I go?
Boy, that is my tactical analysis. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. That is great. I love that. Absolutely superb. Proper Chels, Gary. Absolute legend. Right, now, Louis, your thoughts on Caicedo?
Yes. I mean, I can't really say anything intelligent after that. I need to articulate myself properly. Right, so Moises Caicedo, I think... Ramble's made a very good point that he's not as rash as he used to be. And I think the balance in midfield right now is very, it's solid. I think you're probably going to see, if we stick with the formation we've got now, right, you'll probably see Palmer out on the right and you'll probably have a fully fit and Nkunku playing that number 10 role, right, which isn't terrible. I'd like to see what the balance is like with those players, but it remains to be seen. Having said that, I do think it's important to look at how you use Caicedo and how you use Enzo in that double pivot, because that's probably where they're going to be playing. And I think it is probably, for the time being, going to have to be a case of either or. I think until Chelsea sign an out-and-out defensive midfielder, I don't think you can play them together. Because the problem is, when you play them together in that double pivot, they both have very unique skill sets, which then go on to hinder each other because they occupy the same space.
Yeah.
And you look at how Gallagher was playing today. He was triggering the press. And even if he wasn't triggering the press, he was the one leading the charge to try and bring the Spurs defence, down to a point where they couldn't make those passes out from the back. They couldn't do what Ange doesn't, just how they apply, mate. So I think that it's going to be interesting how that goes. But until... you sign an out-and-out defensive midfielder. Again, I've named drops who I want in that defensive midfield role for Chelsea next season in João Palhinha. But, I think it's kind of a case of you probably will see the best out of the pair of them when you have someone occupying that role. Because the beauty of Caicedo we've seen is he's aggressive. Yes, he's made some silly fouls at the beginning of the season, but he's aggressive and always looks to move the ball forward. Even if it's a short pass just to retain possession, he's always looking to be progressive. And I think with Enzo, he's better a little further ahead. He's a good box-to-box. But for them to do what they need to do, so for Caicedo to be that intercepted midfielder, not like Kante, because I think that's a lazy analysis to say that he's like Kante. But almost, if you want to look at how a player fills a role, that'll be a good example. I think he's that in that intercept midfield role to do that, to win the ball, to play out to the likes of Cole Palmer, you know, maybe Nico Jackson if he's playing out wide, whoever the wingers are, just to get the ball forward and up the pitch. I think that you get the best from him there, because him and Gallagher can fulfill similar roles. And then Enzo can then sort of just play in that midfield pocket, get some space, look for the passes and go that way.
Yeah.
But I think that is the problem at the minute, is that we're not able to see the best out of either of them until you have the right player occupying that role. But what I will say on that is I do not want us to fall into the same trap that Manchester United did for about 8 years when they were quote unquote trying to release Paul Pogba. Right? We need to find somebody, and we need to find the right player, and it needs to be the right identification straight away if we're going to get value for money out of the pair of these lads, because they're both young players who need their confidence high. And we've seen that with Caicedo at the back end of this season. We saw it with Enzo Fernandez when he arrived in Chelsea last January. You have those players firing all cylinders, playing with confidence, knowing they've got the security behind them, they'll fly. But that decision needs to be made sharpish and needs to be made quickly.
I agree. I think if Gallagher is sold this summer, which isn't a done deal as yet. If he is, we definitely need to sign a proper six. You know, and I've got a feeling who you'd want. I know who I'd want.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think even if Gallagher's kept, you need to sign a proper defensive midfielder, because Romeo Lavia isn't that player either.
No,
and in fact, he could be going on loan in the summer, not because he's not good enough, but because you want him to flourish after paying £60 million for him. You want him to go play some football, get some confidence back and get regular minutes. I don't know if he'll get regular minutes in this team, because if you have those three ahead of him, or he's neck and neck with the third, you know, it's going to be tough. He shouldn't be coming just to the bench and easing in slowly. I want to see him in a Premier League side with regular minutes, getting the best out of him. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when he was signed in that Joe Shields is the guy that pushed for Cole Palmer, by the way. He also pushed for Romeo Lavia. And I think one of the things that he saw was that, and again, we can criticize data all we like. I know sometimes it's worth criticizing it, but, they said that from the data they looked at, Caicedo and Lavia would play well together, right? So, I mean, I don't know that. We've not seen it, right? We don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see. I agree with you. I think we need that kind of proper six. But the number of games we played, and the number of injuries we get, I think it's important to have depth anyway. So,
Joe Pelinha from Fulham.
Sorry?
Joe Pelinha from Fulham.
Oh, I love him.
God, you're about 10 minutes behind me, Ramble. Love him, man. Come on, mate, keep up.
He's fantastic. He'd be so good in this system. You put him behind Enzo and Caicedo, and then, you know, he's so good defensively. It's unbelievable. So yeah, we've got some quotes from Pochettino, which I'm going to read out. There's a couple of quotes that have come out. The first quote: "This is the first time this season I am so happy. The team finally realised we need to compete." And then he also went on to say, I'm just finding those quotes as well. "It's difficult to see every single week that I'm under scrutiny and judgment. It's not my decision whether to be here or not next season. All managers need time to translate their ideas and the philosophy. We need time." So that's what Pochettino said. Thoughts on that, Rambles?
I've seen those comments, and I've seen what a lot of people have had to say about those comments. And it does, you can definitely sense he feels really under pressure, and maybe he thinks he won't be here next season. That's the kind of impression I get from it.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. It's not a very, very positive, like, perspective, is it? Like, I don't know whether I'm going to be here or not next season. It's not my decision. He wants time. He clearly wants time to build something. And he's not sure if he's going to get it. That's how I translate that.
What makes you think that, though, Rambles? Like, I'm reading this in a different way, where you look at it and you go, you know, he's just saying that even if he might not be here next season, et cetera, et cetera, he knows there's a review at the end of the season, right? He knows that, you know, he's got to fulfill a certain quota, and maybe he's on his way to doing that. I think the big thing was that they just wanted a guaranteed improvement.
And the reality is, you look at the side, and there has, even if it has been topsy-turvy and there may not be as big a relationship with the fans, there has been an improvement. What makes you think that with those quotes that he won't be here next year?
I just think he feels like so under pressure. And I think, especially some of his comments from Friday before the Villa game, I think he thinks some of the scrutiny's been a bit unfair, and he thinks he's the only one under pressure. And he feels maybe other people at the club should be under pressure. And maybe he feels he'll be harshly sacked when he feels he could, he maybe deserves more time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Do you think the board have already decided what they're going to do with Pochettino? Do you think it's still up in the air? Or do you think it's dependent on last few results?
They've said it's up in the air, haven't they? I mean, it's a case of they've said, as he said in every presser, and they've said since the beginning of the season, he's on a 2-year contract, and after the first year, we'll review it. If they look at it and there's better options out there, obviously there's been discussion about Amorim, whether the plan was actually for discussions with Chelsea rather than West Ham, or there was a talk of Antonio Conte that's come out over the past couple of days. If these are options that are available that fit how they want to operate, how they want to change things, and they think it's best to move on from Poch, maybe they'll do it. But the reality is, you know, that we don't know, and I don't think they do either yet. Maybe they're looking, they're just planning, they're getting themselves in the right positions. But, you know, they're going to review at the end of the season. And look, I think I appreciate that it's been a very tough season for Chelsea fans. And I have often been very vocal about it. And I guess it could be a case of, is it results like tonight that maybe people could quote-unquote flip-flop, etc. But I'm looking at this and going, we are a long way off where we need to be, but there are clear improvements. And with what he's had to operate with, there's been the odd game where you've gone, you've messed up there, mate, and you want to see better. And you do want to see more of a connection. What Archie said earlier has really kind of boosted my confidence with that. But having said that, you know, Chelsea have progressed. We have got better. There's been clear signs of improvement in certain players. There are others where maybe they haven't shown up as much as we'd like them to. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
But what would, like, Louis, what would your, you mentioned about connection. What for you would be a good sign of a better connection?
I just think it's an engagement thing. In the preview, we had a chat with Last Word on Spurs. I spoke to Ricky Sachs, and he was saying how his relationship with Tottenham fans and Chelsea fans is remarkably different. There's a marked difference in it. And the way that he approaches the fans of Spurs when he was there, he'd always go over and clap. He'd always go around the stadium. He'd always, you know, show a lot of passion on the touchline regardless, right? And at Chelsea, we've not really seen that. And I think it can just be a case of the environment he's in, right? He's very much a manager you look at where, you know, is the culture that's been instilled at Chelsea the past 20 years right from Mauricio Pochettino? No, it's not. And I think that's fair to say. However, they're trying to adjust the culture to how the new ownership wants to have it. Does he fit what they want? Yes. Is it something which there needs to be a middle ground found? Absolutely. But I think for a lot of fans in the ground, I think this season there's been cases where you need to look at it and go, well, we are in a difficult position to give you love, because I think a lot of people this year, I mean, it's like, he's the Spurs guy. He's the Spurs manager, right? And they still think that way. You know, Glenn Hoddle was as well, but I think this is a different situation, right? But
yeah, that's a fair point.
I think it's a case of he needs to, if he came over to the fans and engaged, I think that people would be more susceptible to give him love, you know, for him to have ownership of where he is. I think that's, he talks about, we're saying we need to be Chelsea. Okay. So how have Chelsea managers in the past operated? Chelsea as a club, and I think as a fan base, we are very connected to managers that want to make a connection with us. If you look at previous managers under the previous regime who didn't do that so much, they didn't last.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at, I think, Scolari. You're looking at Sarri. Obviously, Benitez already had previous issues. But, you know, these were managers which were tacticians rather than passion merchants. And I'm not saying that the managers that were passion merchants weren't tactically unbelievable. I mean, you look at Mourinho, you look at Tuchel, you look at Conte, right?
Yeah.
But they were three tacticians, but three people that knew that having the crowd on side with you is such a massive asset to have at that stadium. And I'm not saying we're, you know, an absolutely amazing 12th man, but you get more patience and more love from Chelsea fans if you give them something to talk about and something to cheer about. That is the situation where we're at. And I think if he'd been more clear from the start, and it's not just him, the ownership and the sporting director as well, been more clear about what the situation is rather than just hiding behind him as a meat shield, I think he might be in a different position. But look, I think the conversations will be had at the end of the season. And I think if you're going to look at everything, look at the tick box exercises, one needs a bit of work out of the three, but the rest, you've seen a marked difference and improvement. So I think he probably will be here next year.
Wow. Good points. Good points. Well made. Like that, Louis. So before I get the next person up, I just want to read out a stat because we had a debutant today. We had, Josh Achimpong, defender from the academy, came off the bench. Then here's an incredible stat. He registered more blocks than any Chelsea or Spurs player. He played 12 minutes. So fair play to him, you know. I thought he had a decent debut, actually. I was quite impressed. I've seen him through the academy. He's a big talent and he definitely earned those minutes. And, it's good to see him come off the bench and, Potts give him some minutes.
With Gilchrist's injury, he could possibly start Sunday, could he? Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know Gilchrist looked like he had cramp more than anything else, which I would understand because he's not started many games and not played many 90 minutes for the first team. And this would be one of his only 90 minutes. So yeah, I can understand it, but, yeah, I mean, I didn't see anything, any reason why not. I thought he looked really good. He looked like he slotted in really easily, didn't look overwhelmed by the occasion. It's a big game, Spurs. We were defending a lead and it was pressure. Spurs were putting on pressure at the end and he was up to it. So yeah, if Gilchrist isn't available for Sunday, then, yeah, I would be open to that. I mean, it looks like Levi Colwill might be back for that game. Monday, not Sunday. It'd be useful if we could have Nkunku and Levi off the bench in that game. I've got to admit, but, we'll talk about that a bit later. So we're going to get up, John. We're going to get to talk about the game and anything that we've talked about, really. It's nice to have a win, isn't it? It's nice to, beat
and especially
Spurs.
Tottenham.
Yeah, Spurs is always the game you want to win, like, no matter what. No matter how rubbish you are, no matter how bad you are, you want to beat Spurs, don't you? So, okay, John, so what are your, unmute yourself and tell us what your thoughts on the game and some of the things we've been talking about. John, you there?
Yeah, sorry, I'm forever muted. I apologise. I'm one of those very fortunate Chelsea fans. I live quite close to the ground, so I'm only a couple of cul-de-sacs away at the moment. Always great to beat Tottenham. I see some things on Twitter. I don't know if anyone has been made man of the match. My nomination would go to Trevor Chalobah, that lad. Has never let Chelsea Football Club down. Any talk of selling him? I know Gallagher gets the headlines. Fantastic first goal. Where two VAR things came in, I know not. I don't know how long it took. But nonetheless, that lad played, he was excellent this evening. I know Cucurella played with others too, but I thought Trevor Chalobah would be my man of the match this evening.
Yeah, I think I gave him man of the match, actually.
So, did they? Good. I think fully deserved. That's all I'd like to say. Yeah. That lad goes under the radar. He'd never let Chelsea Football Club down. We know he's not Franz Beckenbauer, but heart and soul, fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that. It's another one that I would rather not sell, but it looks like we're going to sell him.
Yeah, sadly. Okay. That's all I'd like to say for the scene. Always great beating Tottenham. 6-1 over two games. There we go.
Yeah, I know. Doing the double over them is great. We haven't done that for a while, actually. So, that's good.
Okay, yeah,
thank you
very much.
Before we go on to the next topic, I just want to have a quick shout out to the Chelsea Sideline Club. This podcast, this space is a production of Sideline production. There's so much great content on this website. I tell you, there's There's videos, content, there's audio content. There's interviews with like people like John Terry and other players and Ken Bates and stuff like that. There's some really good content on there, and it's really worth signing up. And Louis is involved in it, I know, and a few other people that we have on the show sometimes. It's really great work, and really would encourage you all to support it. So definitely do check that out. And I'm a big advocate of that. So absolutely. So then the next point, I think we're going
to... Before we do, we've got to talk more about Challa with that, because John's made some fantastic points.
Oh yeah, I was going to actually get on to that. That's what I was going to talk about.
So he's at next point.
You're way ahead of me, mate. Like, I've got all this stuff planned. Like, Trevor Chalobah, like, I'm a big fan of his. I don't think when everyone's fit, he's our first choice starting centre back, but he never lets us down. Like John said, John made a really good point. He never lets us down. He's consistent. Like, he shows up, performs, does his job, you know, total professional, you know, knows the club, loves the club, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Louis, Trevor Chalobah. You there?
Yeah. Sorry, it's I'm there. I'm sorry. I was writing notes at the same time. Yeah. Look, I think, to be honest, I'm going to disagree with you in terms of when you say when everyone's fit, he doesn't start. I think he does, because you need to have steady Eddies in that team. And he very much is a steady Eddie. He's someone who you always, like you said, is always going to give you everything you need from him. It's always a 7 or 8 out of 10 performance. I'll be brutally honest, right? I know everyone's talking about Wesley Fofana coming back and all this sort of stuff. He's had 3 ACL injuries, guys. Hate to be that guy, but you can't rely on him. You can talk about if he's fit or if he stays fit or if this or if that. There's no guarantee he will. And the thing with Trevor Chalobah, obviously he was laid off for a longer period, but since he's come back, he's been ever present. And since he's been an ever present, he's been consistently performing. And I think last season, towards the back end, Madueke was in a similar boat, right? Where when other people weren't given everything, weren't doing what they need to do, he was always given what you needed, right? This season, I've been less convinced by him. However, that's by the by. That's not who we're talking about. With Trevor Chalobah, you need to look at more than the 90 minutes. You need to look at everything about him, not just technical. You need to look at the psychological side of him. You need to look at the social side of him. You need to look at everything that he can bring to this team on and off of it. Him and Conor Gallagher both fit that category of people that you should be keeping about. And for me, when you look at Trevor Chalobah and Conor Gallagher, right now we're only selling them potentially because the ownership and the strategy of the sporting directors is needing to be covered up, because they want to play politics rather than admit to their mistakes.
Well, and it's my view on why they're being sold is simply because we haven't got Champions League football. And, you know, that was, they were expecting to get Champions League football and they didn't get it. And
this is what I mean, Score. It's covering up for politics. Who in the right mind would look at that squad and go, I tell you what, let's sign a bunch of 18, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds. And I guarantee you, they're all going to go get a Champions League football. It's ridiculous.
I know. I don't disagree with you at all. I think it was not, I mean, we've been calling for them to sign more experience, for a year. They might be listening to us, hopefully, looks like this summer, but that's a whole different conversation. But I mean, he could start for us every week. Absolutely, Trev. And, you know, Connor could as well, but I know. It's just, it's frustrating. Those things are frustrating because they shouldn't be, neither of them should be being sold. Neither of them. And, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, you know, I keep hearing things, there's a chance that Connor might not be sold. So, you know, who knows? Hopefully he's not. But, Trev shouldn't be sold either. But we do still need an experienced centre back, in my view, who's a leader and who's proven, who's a, you can take Thiago Silva's place. So that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, good points. Rambles, what are your thoughts on Trev?
I think he's done really well since he's come back into the team, Trevor. And I do really like him. Moving forward, I do think the centre-backs we've been linked with are a lot better than Chalobah. So I do think long-term, he would only ever be a squad player. Because I'm also with you on my feelings with Fofana. If he can get back and he can stay fit, I think he is possibly first names on the team sheet.
And what Louis said is right. That's a big if. We don't know.
We just don't know if he can.
But if he does, then he would be one of our best centre backs. And I think we've missed him this season, actually. He has such a positive influence when he's at the back. He's a bit of a leader at the back in some ways. He's a bit of an organiser.
Is he?
I think he is.
Wesley Fofana.
I saw him last season, when he came back into the team last season, our defence went up a notch immediately. And I'm not saying he's like shouting at people and waving at people, but there's something about him there which kind of, I don't know, the defence was better when he was there than when he wasn't there. And I don't know, maybe it's his positional sense, maybe that, you know, he's got a good mentality, but he's a top player. But the injuries are just absolute killers, and it's just frustrating that he has all these injuries.
This one always causes debate. Do we think Chalobah's better than De Sassi?
Yes. There's no debate there. He hasn't got the turning circle of a double-decker bus for a start.
Well, I think everyone's been unfair on De Sassi this season, and I don't think there's much difference. Actually, when they're both at their best, there's not that much difference between them. But Trevor's been brilliant the last few weeks. So Trevor's definitely been better the last few weeks than De Sassi has. That's fair. That's always a tough conversation, that one. And I find it hard to have a neutral conversation about it, purely because Trevor's a Cobham player. And so there's always going to be a bit of an element of, you know, Chelsea fans are going to stick up for their own, which is totally understandable because we all love Cobham players, right? And we want to back them. We want them to get chances. We want them to get minutes. And some of them deserve it. Like Trev deserves it. Connor deserves it this season, 100%. Levi has been great when he's played, in my view, especially at centre-back. And he would be my other first-choice centre-back right now when he's fully fit. And that's another good point because Badi Ashiel played tonight. And I've always been an advocate of his, even when everyone else was writing him off, because I thought last season he was excellent. And I was expecting that to continue this season, but he struggled this season. He's been poor this season. He's not been great, but tonight and also against Villa, I think he's had a really good game and been solid and looked more like himself again. So I'd love to know your thoughts on him. Rambles.
Like yourself, I've always believed in Badi Ashiel because he was really solid last season. And the Potter is very, very good.
Yeah. And
I was thinking, you know what, we've signed a really good young player. How much did he pay for him? Was it 37 million?
No. 32 million? That's 32 million, I think, yeah.
I mean, in today's market, that's an absolute steal. And he's only going to get better. I think obviously with the injury, you know, maybe he lost his confidence. Maybe being in that of a team didn't help. But now he's had kind of like a run of a few games. He seems to be getting back to the form of last season.
Yeah, and I think also having a proper structure in the team itself, because we didn't have that for a long time. And all of our defenders looked a bit out of sorts because we didn't have any kind of structure there. I mean, we conceded so many goals and so many chances. It was ridiculous. But in the last couple of games, we've got a bit of structure back. And lo and behold, our defenders suddenly look good again because they've got an actual structure to play with. Like, and they know where they're meant to be. They know what they're meant to be doing. They know what position they're meant to be on the pitch. You know, they know the structure, and that lifts players and makes players better. Absolutely agree. I definitely be keeping them around next season. I think Levi Cole has a higher ceiling than him, but I rate Benningfield very highly as well. If you played in the back three, you could probably play with him as the centre-back and have Levi on the left and, you know, Trev or Fofana on the right, you know. That would be a really good back three. We'll see what happens. It depends on what happens for next season. So
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Pochettino does now, because I think De Sessi could be available this weekend. Colwell could be available. So does he stick with Chalabar and Badiashile? Does he change it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I would be, I'm kind of old fashioned. I'll be sticking with, trying to stick with, most of the same 11. If you can, although obviously you'd have Levi back on the bench. You'd have, maybe you have Nkunku back on the bench. Maybe you have Dizazi back on the bench. Or maybe you play, someone else at right back. I don't know. But I thought Gilchrist had a good game tonight at right back. I was actually had it down to talk about him. I thought he had a good game and, he's not a right back by trade, but he kept Son in the first half, especially. I thought he did an excellent job on Son. Like Son had nothing in the first half. He didn't get into the game at all. And I thought Gilchrist kept him quiet.
It was very quiet first half, Son. Even second half, he didn't really do too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought it wasn't his best game for sure, but I thought we defended him pretty well, and that's partly down to the structure that we had, but also the performance of Gilchrist. Like he looked a bit out of sorts last week against Arsenal, but today he was a lot better, I think we all love to see people like that coming through the academy. And Louis, what do you think of Gilchrist? Just generally, like not just today, but his whole like emergence this season.
In terms of today, Alfie Gilchrist went off with his cramp. Right, went down to change rooms, had a quick shower, and after taking off his shin pads and everything else, he obviously went into his pockets. Right, he found his keys, his wallet, his phone, human son. I thought he was. Brilliant. I thought he kept him so quiet for that first half. Obviously, the second half, he was a bit more aggressive. But I think that's because Heung-min Son was down the middle rather than out wide. I think him and Brennan Johnson had swapped positions. And I thought he was superb. You know, for a young lad, for his second ever Premier League start, I thought he stepped up. And then this season as well, overall, I mean, look, I'm not going to heap pressure on him. I'm just going to look at him and for what he's done. And, you know, he stepped up when we asked him to. And he was great at what he did. So long may it continue in my eyes.
Absolutely agree with that. I think, would you start him against West Ham?
I mean, it depends who's available. If Gusto's back fit, then probably not. If he is the person who's going to be the starting right back, so be it. It's going to be interesting to see who he's up against. But if he can look after Heung-min Son, and if Chelsea can, I think actually for the third game in a row, have a consistently good performance, because look, as much as we were quiet in the first half against Villa, we weren't terrible. Second half, we excelled. And then we continued that form into this game. If we can then propel ourselves into that Aston Villa game and continue to play as well as we have done, I don't see why he shouldn't be starting. Obviously, I think he'll be loaned out next season, get regular minutes in the Championship, most likely, is what's been reported.
Yeah, and that'll be good for him, I think.
You know, yeah, agreed. But I'd definitely start him against West Ham.
Yep, fair point. I couldn't disagree with that, really. Okay, people want to laugh because we've beaten Spurs. I've got some comments from Postecoglou, and it is literally what he said. He said, "We were so far off it, and that's on me today. Come on, mate, we didn't play well."
Come on, do it in the Aussie accent.
No,
school.
I can't do
it.
I can't
some
do a fake Aussie accent. I'll sound awful.
You know, what's
come
wrong,
on, mate, we didn't play well.
G'day, man.
What do you want for me to write you a dossier where we're wrong? We were poor today. Like, I don't like doing accents. I get all self-conscious.
Oh no, but I mean, guys, let's be so honest. At least he shows great charisma when he loses. Oh, behave yourself. Oh, he's come out and he's talked, it's so good that he talks to press in such an honest way. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. Come on, mate. We were rubbish. Like we didn't play well today. Like, that's actually, I respect that. Because it's just
basically. I don't.
I do. I respect when a manager's honest like that. I like it. I prefer them to say it as it is. Like, and they were rubbish today, Spurs. Yeah, but you know, it's good to make fun of Spurs because we've beaten them and we stopped them getting top four. So, we beat them twice. That's 6 points they don't have. If they have those 6 points, they might get top four. So we can say we stopped them getting top four. Or help them bottle it anyway. We're coming to the end now. We've been going for about an hour now. Really good show again, lads. Really appreciate everyone's contribution. Lots of people come up today. Archie and BTNT and other people have come up today and all contributed. And obviously Louis and Rambles and even Gary with his cheering and that brilliant song that we all love when we beat Spurs. So just before we go, your sum up of the game and today, Rambles.
I'm absolutely delighted because I've got a lot of Spurs family and I'm in the office tomorrow with a lot of Spurs fans. So it's always more pleasing when we beat Tottenham because I'll have a big smile on my face tomorrow and they'll be down in the dumps.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Fantastic. Yeah, Louis, your kind of sum up of today.
It is very much a case of business as usual when it comes to Chelsea and Tottenham Hotspur at Stamford Bridge. 30-odd years, apart from a dodgy year under Sarri, Chelsea have won against a side which just can't seem to get the job done at Stamford Bridge. Ange Postecoglou has apparently made everyone happy because he called someone mate. But the bottom line is that Chelsea went and did what they needed to do. 3 points on the board, professional job done. Trevor Chalobah, rightly named man of the match. Conor Gallagher playing well and getting a banner, which pissed some people's blood on Twitter. But, you know, bored. But you can blood boil all you want, but it is what it is. Happy with the result. Chelsea win again. And onwards and upwards.
Absolutely, Louis. Absolutely. So before we go, if you missed any of the show, don't worry. You can hear it back on all good podcasting platforms from 7 a.m. tomorrow UK time. There's also an instant voice note review coming out straight after this. So make sure you keep an eye on that. It'll be on the Chelsea Echo account, probably on the Chelsea Sideline account as well. So go and check that out. Also make sure, like I say, give us a follow on Twitter, Chelsea Echo. Give the Chelsea Sideline Club a follow as well. And, you know, find us on podcasting platforms and give us 5-star reviews. I know it doesn't seem much, but it does make a huge difference when you give us those reviews. And we really, really appreciate it when you do. And again, this is a production of a Sideline production. That website, the ChelseaSideline.club, is really, really good site. So much good content on there. Not just these podcasts, but some other great, great shows, video content, and audio content and interviews with Chelsea legends and, you know, the stuff with Glenn Hoddle, John Terry, other people, all up on there. It's really, really great. Do give a look and sign up for it. I highly recommend it. So, thanks everybody. And just a quick goodbye from Rambles and Louis.
See you guys.
Is that all you're going to say, Rambles? You're not going to talk about how we've just absolutely rattled Spurs' cages once again?
Where's
it's been a good show, guys.
Come and get battered everywhere they go.
Come and get battered everywhere they go. Everywhere they go.
They do. They get Spurs get battered everywhere they go. And we've done a double over them this season. Absolute proper Chelsea, as it should be. Spurs bottling things, as they always do. It's a beautiful night. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for being part of this. Take care, everybody. And up the Chelsea.